The text for this morning's sermon is from the gospel reading we just heard. I'll refer to that reading and a little bit also before it in John chapter 6, but these few verses to start. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Of course, much has been said of John chapter 6, and much more will always be said. Yet as I looked at this passage that was assigned for today, something struck me, and it is this seemingly strange contrast that Jesus is pointing out to the crowds. They sought Jesus because they had their fill of bread, and he says, not because you were seeking signs. Often we Lutherans are very cautious about kind of signs and wonders preaching today. Many try to gather very large crowds with such preaching and supposed miracles, perhaps yes, perhaps no. It's very common in Africa for this type of preaching, and crowds of hundreds of thousands can be gathered around this type of approach. So we're cautious. Yet here, Jesus points out to the crowds, you were not looking at the signs, but instead the bread of which you had your fill. He wants them to pay attention to the signs. And we know that in the Gospel of John, St. John makes much about the signs which point to Christ. In John 20, he wrote, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The signs point out that Jesus is the Christ, and believing in the Christ, there is life in his name. And so this emphasis on John, the signs pointing to Jesus, occurs over and over in John. And yet, right here in this passage, there is this interesting contrast that Jesus puts before the crowds. On the one hand, you searched for me because you had your fill, and not because of the signs. What is this thing they had done? What was their motivation? What is he referring to? What was wrong? This teaching from Jesus to the crowds right here refers back to something that happened just the day before, the feeding of the 5,000. In this miracle of Jesus, the sign of Jesus, what had been the focus of the crowds when Jesus had done that miracle? John in verse 15 points it out. They wanted to force him to be king. And it says, and he withdrew from them. Now, this description of what Jesus had done and what their attitude and what their motivations were is very strong. Some commentators say it's a capturing of Jesus. Even some suggest kidnapping Jesus. They wanted to grab him and force him to do what they wanted him to do. And with this behavior and attitude at that point in time, Jesus withdrew. Stop and think about that. What would it take for Jesus to withdraw from sinners? To me, this is a very alarming statement. Jesus withdrew himself. The crowds wanted Jesus to be that kind of king that they wanted. The kind of king, and we can say politician, that the world loves. Would not all follow such a king? Would not such a king who could supply all the needs be such a great and grand thing? And actually, who even cares what he thinks about himself? If he can do this for us, we'd just grab him, put him into power, and look what will happen. The crowds wanted Jesus to fulfill their own plans, different from the plans of Jesus. They wanted to kidnap him to their own ends. And Jesus withdrew from them. Jesus can't be fooled. John wrote in chapter 2, "Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." No thought, no matter how deep within us, can be hidden from Jesus. He knows our motivations, our hidden goals, our darkest secrets. We can hide our love for power or self-glory or hypocrisy from people, but not from Jesus. And whenever we want to use Jesus for our own plans and our own purposes, Jesus knows. And perhaps, might Jesus withdraw from us if we sin like that? To not believe in Jesus, but to use him for our own ends. Dear friends in Christ, as men and women training to serve Christ, you will be tempted with this sin many times. What a great coup for the devil if he can get a pastor or a deaconess to not serve Christ or his sheep, but to serve himself or herself. This temptation faces every person serving in Christ's church to lift up the human name for glory rather than Christ's name, to try to kidnap the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this temptation occurs at every level. From the highest level in our church, from the synodical executives, to districts, to institutions, educational institutions, to our volunteers in our congregations, teaching Sunday school. I have seen many mutations of this temptation. Let me share one, which I faced. As Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries, my wife and I, we had to raise funds before we could go into the field. This is the way our synod does it now. We did it, but there's a particular part of that that always posed us great discomfort and difficulty. The difficulty was not in visiting many pastors and congregations. We enjoy meeting God's people and sharing different things about God's work and word. The difficulty is the temptation, the goal. What is it going on that you must make yourself somewhat famous and more valued among so many crucial ministries, so that you will be supported over and above other things. Since our missionary service in Ghana in 1993 to 98, as well as this latest time in South Africa and Ethiopia, we have always been uncomfortable with this aspect of missionary work in the LCMS. The fact of the matter was, we were so aware of it that we ourselves were not tempted that much. I can't say we didn't fall into it, but it was so evident to us that this was a temptation that we avoided it. We saw our sins. We saw our weaknesses. We are not so great. God is doing this ministry. The difficulty was the church wanted us to do this. The church wants us to raise money. The church wants us to become so valued that you will get enough donations to make your budget. The pressure was from the church. Deborah and I continue to pray for our current missionaries, that they can, in their fundraising, lift up the gospel of Christ and not themselves. But this is the kicker. As an LCMS missionary, your task, written right into the contract, is to raise up funds to become a favorite name. They don't use those terminology, but that's what's happening. I have a few solutions in mind or ideas in mind that might work or might not work. Nobody's asked me. But the point for you is this. You will be faced with temptations to override the gospel of Jesus Christ with your own ideas and plans that are not his. And you will be tempted this in your own flesh, but sometimes also it is the sin in the world will be pressing down on you to do this, as well as sometimes even the pressure within the church will tempt you to do this. And sometimes then we are pressured and tempted. You won't escape this temptation. It will come. Satan would love to see you fall into this temptation to seek to fill your own bellies rather than the kingdom of God. So what happens if you do sin and fall into this temptation? As I was reading this, Jesus withdrew from the crowds, and what's next in the narrative? A wonderful thing. Jesus' disciples, they're in trouble now on the lake in a storm. His people are in trouble, and what does Jesus do? He goes and rescues them, even walking on the water, to take care of them, to rescue them. They are in trouble. The very next day then, this is where our text picks up, the crowds find Jesus. And the crowds want to talk to Jesus. And Jesus teaches them. Jesus teaches them what they have done wrong, how they have sinned, how they have refused the Messiah as God has sent the Messiah. And they should not want this bread just to fill their bellies. That is not the gift God is giving in Jesus Christ, but he is giving this bread for eternal life. And he teaches this. And as he's teaching, they are stirred to continue thinking about this. And they say to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he has sent." Jesus always wants to correct. Jesus always wants to teach. Jesus always wants to build up faith in his people. He always wants his people to trust in him alone. Dear Christian friends, if you find yourself caught up in this sin of raising your own ideas over to be more important, to seek your own glory rather than the glory of Jesus Christ, If you find that, repent. In the midst of your repentance, Jesus is there with you. He is the one calling you to repentance. He is the one reminding you of your sin. He is the one offering you forgiveness. You did not cause yourself to repent. He has called you and wants to bring it to full and complete faith. Expect troubles and confusion and sin. Expect these temptations. They are in the church all over. High and low positions, they're everywhere. This temptation to seek the glory of the world, to seek it in its own way, to rely upon ourselves and instead of upon the grace of Jesus Christ, these temptations surround us every day. And yet, even though they surround us every day, these temptations, despair not. Do not give up. Jesus does not leave us alone. He promises to feed us with the food that we need for true life, to be with him forever. What did he tell the crowds? Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, draw us to you always. Amen. Amen.